This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What I'm going to tell you now are some of the ways to guarantee you enter Jannah. Guarantee you will enter Jannah, bi-idhnillah, 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 as long as you die upon Islam. And because these are statements and ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ does not lie, and the ahadith are not lies. So I wrote down every single thing that I could know, and I searched and I read, and I opened up books and I searched, and I asked my mashayikh, and I wrote down every single thing I could think of through which people could go to Jannah, and definitely Jannah becomes obligatory for you. And then what did I do? Just like the way I normally do, I summarized them all. I said, you know what, this one, it's like similar to that one similar to that one. So I put them all together and I came up with seven categories. I came up with seven categories of deeds that you could do that will offer surety, enter you into Jannah, bi-idhnillah, bi-idhnillah, without any excuse, inshallah, you will go to Jannah if you do it. So let me start off the seven things that will enter you into Jannah, bi-idhnillah. And I'm going to start from the smallest or the easiest or the least, and I'm going to go to the highest. One of the seven categories is only for women, but the rest are for both men and women as well. So category number seven, the lowest thing or the least of the seven things that will enter you into Jannah most definitely is what? Category number seven is putting a smile on a Muslim's face. Helping a Muslim. There are so many hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whoever helps his Muslim brother, whoever goes out of his way to help his Muslim brother, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. In the authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said in Sahih Muslim, he said, there is no reward for the one who makes a Muslim happy except Jannah. Allahu Akbar. No reward for a one who makes a Muslim happy except Jannah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, can't you make your Muslim brothers and sisters happy? There are too many people crying today. Too many Muslims are so sad. They're sad. Their homes are destroyed. The families are destroyed. Can't you make a Muslim happy? Can't you make it your jihad in your life? Every day I'm going to make one Muslim happy. One Muslim I'm going to make happy. Every day. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And you must do so. You must, every single day that you wish to enter Jannah, be of those people who make one Muslim happy. In fact, once it was reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who visited a sick today? Abu Bakr said, I did, Ya Rasulullah. And he said, who took a procession to the grave today? Meaning, followed the janazah today? I did, Ya Rasulullah. He said, who fed a miskeen today? I did, Ya Rasulullah. And he said, who fasted today? He said, I did, Ya Rasulullah. All of the sahaba else keeping quiet. Some of them saying, I to some of them, but not to all of them except Abu Bakr. And then the Prophet said, whoever does all of this will enter Jannah. Will enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So, Ikhwani, the first way, the seventh way, let's start off low and then go high. The seventh way that you can enter Jannah is make a Muslim happy. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is our brotherhood. Our brothers and sisters in Syria, our brothers and sisters in Burma, our brothers and sisters in Palestine, our brothers and sisters worldwide. Find someone and make them happy. I remember when I wasn't very practicing at all, I used to sponsor an orphan from Bosnia. And subhanAllah, I found so much khair in my life from just that one sponsorship of one orphan. Perhaps the good that Allah has guided me to is because of the good that I did at that time. Ya ikhwani, make a Muslim happy. Find a Muslim brother that's sad or a sister that's sad. And there's so many sisters that are sad, so many brothers that are sad around us. Find them and make them happy. In the authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, shall I tell you that which is more beloved to me than praying all night and fasting all day in my masjid for 1 month? Yes, Ya Rasulullah, tell us. He said that I should go with my Muslim brother and fulfill a need that he has. That is more beloved to Rasulullah ﷺ than fasting all day, praying all night in the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ. Do you know how much is one day's prayer in the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ equal to? Sheikh Iyad, I remember when he was here, Sheikh Iyad, the Muaddin of the Haram, I remember when I visited him saying, and I was saying, MashaAllah, Ya Sheikh, what a barakah Allah has given you, has made you the Muaddin of the Haram. Ya Salam, you know, how I wish I was a Muaddin of the Haram. And he was like, yeah, SubhanAllah, it's the fadl of Allah upon me. And he was saying, do you know what the greatest blessing of being a Muaddin is? He said, no. His greatest blessing of being a Muaddin of the Prophet's Masjid is that I get to pray in the Masjid. And I'm the first to enter the Masjid. And the earliest to enter the Masjid. And on top of that, he said, I calculated the reward of praying one day in the Prophet's Masjid. One day, which is 5 daily prayers. One day in the Prophet's Masjid. And he said it's equal to 3 years of Salah in any other Masjid than anywhere else. Why? Because it's 5 times 1,000. On top of that, I remember speaking to my Sheikh. And my Sheikh said that there's a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ in Sahih al-Jami of Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, was hadith number 5,723. The hadith states, "Man jaa ila masjidi hada wa yati lil khair yata'allamuhu wa yu'allimuhu fa huwa fi manzilati al-mujahid fi sabilillah." Whoever comes to my masjid in order to teach something good or learn something good, then he is in the level of the mujahid in the path of Allah. And I asked my Sheikh, what's the reward of a mujahid? He said, 1 million prayers. According to the fuqaha, 1 million prayers, one salah whilst you're in jihad. That means if you come to the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ with the intention of not only salah, but to gain some Islamic knowledge or teach some Islamic knowledge, then you have the reward of 1 million times 5 million. And if you divide that, you find 230 years of salah, one day's prayer. Now, 1 month's ibadah in the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ is better than all of that if you help a Muslim brother. Can you see how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and wants us to help each other? You know, I was reading the tafsir of the Quran the other day and I came across Ibn Qayyim's statement regarding the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. And all those who are going to be entering into Jannah, they are all gathered together as a group. And Allah will push them into Jannah together. Ibn al-Qayyim said something which made my heart quiver. Do you know what he said? Ya Salam, may Allah give us a seating with Ibn al-Qayyim so I can tell him I love you for Allah's sake. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to love each other so much so he has denied us from entering Jannah alone. He wants us to enter Jannah in groups, hand in hand. This is why making a Muslim happy is so great. Make your Muslim brothers and sisters happy, brothers and sisters. Don't just be happy yourself. Make them happy as well, inshallah. Find someone sad, make them laugh. Make them laugh. Number 6, the 6th thing which will definitely give you Jannah. And I could not place this anywhere else simply because it is so great. Is al-Hajj al-Mabrur and Umrah. Umrah in the month of Ramadan is equal to Hajj with Rasulullah ﷺ. And Hajj for a sister in Islam is equal to Jihad. And Hajj al-Mabrur, لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. Authentic hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ in Muslim and others. Al-Hajj al-Mabrur, لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, you've got to perform Hajj. You've got to do Hajj, not just once in your life. You can't just give some money to Tabung Haji and say, okay, khalas, whatever money comes. No. God, hurry up and do Hajj as many times as you can, or as many ways as you can. What a blessing Hajj is. Visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being in all of those places of Arafat and Mina and Muzdalifah. What a blessing it is. You've got to do Hajj. And Hajj al-Mabrur is actually quite easy. Just do Hajj and don't do 2 things. What are those 2 things? Don't fool around with women, and women don't fool around with men. Meaning sexually, which is all right. Alhamdulillah, it's easy to do because you know what? Alhamdulillah, you're in the haram and in the holiest of places. You don't think about those haram things, mostly. So stay away from that. And the other thing is don't argue. That's it. What is Hajj al-Mabrur? فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. That's it. That's what Hajj al-Mabrur is. La rafath, no fooling around sexually. Wala fusuq, no evil deeds. Well, alhamdulillah, we don't do evil deeds in Hajj because, you know, the dunya is away from us. Wala jidal, stop arguing. Just don't argue. That's it. So it's easy to attain. It's easy to attain if you just keep an eye on your tongue and keep an eye on your private parts. So my brothers and sisters Islam, do Hajj a lot. If you do Hajj, Allah will make you rich. The Prophet said in the authentic hadith, whoever wants to get rich, let him do Hajj. He also said the same thing about marriage, by the way. Whoever wants to get rich, let him get married. Very different concepts of getting rich in Islam, isn't it, compared to the West. In the West, don't do Hajj if you want to go get rich, because Hajj is $10,000. And marriage is hanging. Don't get married. Why? Why should you get married? That's why, perhaps one of the reasons we're so poor these days, because we only have one wife. I know, I had to just look at Sheikh Allah and say that. Zakallah khair. Alright, Hajj al-Mabrur. Laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. My brothers in Islam, struggle and do as much Hajj as you can with your life. MashaAllah, I'd just like to point out that my brother Sajid, his father did Hajj 60 times. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. And make him from those people who will enter him to Jannah because of Hajj. Number 5, and this is for women. That was 7, that's 6, and number 5. Number 5, for sisters in Islam. This is specially for you, because this is only something only you can do. It's really difficult. It's really difficult, because it's just impossible to do this. But I'm sure you can struggle and strive to do this, inshallah. What is it? Listen to your husband. It's true, isn't it? It's impossible. There's no way women can listen to their husbands. It's just, it's against their DNA. It's like, it's toxic. But you have to. If you want to go to Jannah, you've got to do it. And you know, obedience to husband is not that which you like. Oh, husband says, oh, is it shopping time? Oh, here you go, here's my credit card. Okay, husband, thank you, I'm obeying you. I mean, this is not the obedience we're talking about. Obedience isn't that which you dislike. In the authentic hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ Tabarani, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a woman knew the haqq of the husband upon her, then she would put the food on the table and stand there waiting until he finished. Oh my God. Does any woman do that anymore? Yani, not eat in front of the husband, keep completely quiet. Wow, that's a wife, mashallah. Okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our sisters the most obedient of women. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our husbands the most deserving of husbands. Because when you become a prince, then you deserve a princess. But if you are a garbage collector, then you're going to get garbage coming to you. It's true. If you're bad mouthing, and you smell bad, and your akhlaq is even worse, then what are you going to get except garbage? So brothers and sisters in Islam, and my sisters in Islam, if you want to go to Jannah, remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whichever woman prays her 5 daily prayers, fasts her month of Ramadan, protects her private parts, and inshallah these are easy for you all, bi-idhnillah. But the last one, which is obeys her husband, it will be told to her on the day of judgment, enter Jannah from whichever door you wish. You must try and do this, sisters in Islam, because the opposite is really bad. If you die and your husbands are displeased with you, you will go to Jahannam. Do you know that after you get married, the haqq of your husband is more than the haqq of your parents? Your husband has more haqq upon you than your parents. In the authentic hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, if a man, a husband, has a wound, a pus in his hand, even if a woman were to suck that wound out with her own mouth and drink it, she would still not look after the haqq that he has over her. In the authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, if it was allowed for anyone to prostrate to anyone, I would have ordered the woman to prostrate to her husband. Sisters in Islam, this is the way Allah wants it. This is it. Accept it. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Obedience to the husband is obligatory and is your miftah, your gate to Jannah. Before you were married, The gates to Jannah are under your mother's feet. After you're married, the gates to Jannah are under your husband's feet. So be of those people who are obedient to the husband, because wallahi, I really fear about women today. Today, far too many brothers come to me and they're more afraid of their wife than they're of shaitan. Why are they so afraid of their wife? Sisters, what do you do to men that they are so afraid? Brothers, why are you so afraid of your wives? Please, don't be afraid of your wives. They should be our friends. And they should know, bi-idhnillah, that this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of respect and love, let there be obedience, bi-idhnillah. Moving on. Number four, the fourth thing that will save you from Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you can guarantee me two things, I will guarantee you Jannah. What is that? What are those two things? Guarantee me your tongue and guarantee me that which is within, between your two legs, your private parts. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the cause of the fitna in this dunya. Everything in this dunya is caused by lies or spreading tales or bad marketing or bad journalism or speaking, you know, wrong information. It's just the speech, it's the information, it's the words that are coming out of people's mouths. If that was just stopped, and all the fitna that we have today, a lot of it is to do with sex and this attraction between men and women and this haram that happens because of this. Our dress code, our lack of modesty, our behavior with each other is all because of this. They say that the testosterone levels of children in classrooms, in boys, goes up when there are girls in that same classroom. That's why they behave weird. It's true. And that's why they say that actually single girls' schools and single boys' schools actually perform better. It's true, they do. Because girls have less distraction and boys have less distraction. So brothers and sisters, this is the way Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us. It's a test. It's a test from us. It's a test from Allah Azza wa Jalla to us. So preserve that which is between your legs and preserve that which is between your tongues. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the one that will make people enter Jahannam the most. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet was asked, Ya Rasulullah, what are those things that causes people to enter Jahannam the most? He said, that which is between your tongues and that which is between your legs. An authentic hadith in Bukhari. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we don't want to be of those people who fall into Jahannam because of these two things. The tongue can be easily controlled. How can it be controlled? By first of all, not being around those people where you speak too much. Avoiding those gatherings where all it is about is chit-chat. Choosing friends based upon those who speak less. Not spending your time with those people who talk about the dunya, but talk about the akhirah. One of the great scholars of hadith, Ibn al-Awn, he said, remembrance of Allah is the cure and remembrance of people is the disease. What is wrong with people today that we have chosen the disease for the cure? We have chosen a disease which is remembering people over the cure which is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Ikhwani was reported that one of the great scholars of Islam, Ibn Idris, he used to, whenever he was with people, he would not talk to them, he would simply be moving his mouth like this and just making some adhkar, all the time. So he was asked, are you mad? Why are you doing that? He said, this is not madness. Rather, what you guys are doing is madness. All you're doing is talking about the dunya. All I am doing is I'm talking about the akhirah. How difficult is it today, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to buy a house? In Malaysia, it's just ridiculously expensive now. It's going up and up and up. Oh yeah, absolutely. It's going up and up. The median house price is 500,000 and above and coming close to 1 million. Subhanallah. And it's going to even increase beyond that perhaps. But how easy is it to build a house in Jannah? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi gharasul Jannah, the Prophet said. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi is a gharas of Jannah. Meaning just to say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Allah will plant for you a tree in Jannah. And whoever says Subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times, the Prophet said that all his sins will be removed, even if they were like the number of foam on the top of the ocean. So brothers and sisters in Islam, control your tongue and control your private parts. How do you control private parts? By getting married early. Get married early. And get married to people you're attracted to. What? Yes. First, find people you're attracted to. Get married early. Get married early. You know, wallahi subhanAllah, the other day, I was standing and my son was standing next to me. And he's starting to wear the same length of thobe as me. And he's like my height. And I said, oh my God, Yusuf, what happened to you? What do you mean, what happened to me, Dad? I said, no, what happened to you? I said, you're nearly as tall as me. I said, yes, in case you haven't been noticing, I've been growing. I said, subhanAllah, he's about to get married. He's 14 now and he's almost as tall as me. And I have to now think about women for him. And the other day, my daughter became baligh. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. I have to think about marriage for her. I don't know. These are all my, obviously I'm coming close to the age of 40 and all my problems I'm talking about here. But brothers and sisters, seriously, get your young ones married early. Get your young ones married early. Please, protect them. And sisters in Islam, beautify yourselves for your husbands, not for other men. No barakah in that. You will only earn your sins with every hair that you show, with every lipstick you've put in front of other people's faces, every perfume you put, the more it will be written that you are closer to becoming zani. The more you beautify yourselves for your husband, the more you will achieve higher levels in paradise. Because the best of women are those who, when the husband see them, that they please them. So get married to good men. And get married to good women, brothers in Islam. Find each other. Let there be a lot more marriage happening, inshallah. Protect your private parts. This is the best way of doing so, bi-idhnillah. Number three. The third way. And I've summarized all those actions into one point, into 7 points. And this third one is actions that are done with ikhlas. If I can achieve even a simple deed, but I can do it with ikhlas, then subhanAllah, glory be to the one, as Abdullah ibn Umar said, he said, glory be to the man who has taken a step in this dunya for the face of Allah. He said, Tuba, another statement he says, Tuba for that man who Allah has accepted even one of his prostrations. Because if Allah accepts something from you, just even one thing, Allah is so great that He will enter you into Jannah. Is there no one amongst us who can afford to do one deed at least for the face of Allah? I mean, subhanAllah, a prostitute entered Jannah because of water she gave to a dog to drink. And a man entered Jannah because of a trunk of a leaf that he moved. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says in his fatawa, the reason why Allah entered these two into Jannah, how many of the prostitutes of this world Allah will never forgive, but Allah forgave that prostitute who gave water to drink to the dog. You know why? Because she did it with ikhlas. So if you cannot do great deeds, at least do a simple deed, but with pure sincerity in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Pure sincerity, ikhwati, do you know what that means? It means that you should never ever think that any deed you do is acceptable. Yaqulu Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he said, kullu shay'in amiltuhu amama an-nas fala ahsibuha shay'a. Every single deed I've done in front of mankind, I don't consider it to be anything. That's why my brothers and sisters who work with me in Mercy Mission, look at all this deed around you. Don't you dare ever think Allah will reward you for this. Because I know you've done it. And you know I have done it. So how can you guarantee you have pure ikhlas? And how can I guarantee I have pure ikhlas? We can't. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says in Fatawa, he says obligatory on every Muslim to have a wird, which is one special deed every night between him and Allah Azza wa Jal alone. One special deed that is secret. One special deed, whatever it is, feeding somebody, reading some Quran, praying something. This is extremely important, brothers and sisters in Islam. Extremely important. Ikhlas, ya ikhwani, ikhlas. It was reported from Ash-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, Muhammad al-Amin Ash-Shanqiti, that at the age of 14 years old, he wrote 10,000 verses of poetry about the genealogy of Arabs. When he was 40 years old, he tore it up and he burnt it, without even leaving a copy of it. So the other scholars in Medina said, Ya Sheikh Amin, what have you done? Ya Sheikh Muhammad, what have you done? Why have you torn up that verses of poetry? He said, when I was 14 years old, I never knew what ikhlas was. So I wrote 10,000 verses of poetry about the genealogy of Arabs, and I did it perhaps because I was vying with others, competing with others. So I don't want to die and have anything left in this dunya. My brothers and sisters, Islam, do you know what the athar of ikhlas is? The athar of ikhlas is zamzam water. Do you know the sign of ikhlas? The sign of ikhlas is a muwatta. Muwatta of Imam Malik, rahimullah, when he wrote the muwatta, 80 other scholars wrote muwatta. 80 other scholars wrote their muwatta. So his student came to Imam and said, Ya Sheikh, Ya Imam, other 80 other scholars have written the muwatta. What did he say? He said, Ma kana lillahi sayabqa, wa ma kana li ghayri lillahi yazul. That which is for Allah will remain, that which is not for the face of Allah will be wiped out. How many muwattas do you know of today, brothers and sisters? One. Even though all the others, they were writing, they were scholars, and the other 80 muwattas were full of hadith and ayat. Still Allah will destroy it. So brothers and sisters, see all this khair? This will all be destroyed one day if there is no ikhlas. But if there is ikhlas, this will grow until it becomes a legacy for you and for me. So do small deeds even if you can. If you cannot do big deeds, do small ones as long as they're with ikhlas. Number two. The second thing, and I joined all of this together into one thing that will stop you from entering Jahannam and entering to Jannah definitely. And that is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one thing that will enter into Jannah definitely. Look at this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Tabarani, Nasa'i, and others. He said, whoever says Ayatul Kursi after every single fard salah. You know when you make your dua after fard salah? Ayatul Kursi. Don't you dare forget it. Ayatul Kursi. He said, whoever says Ayatul Kursi after every fard salah, at the time of dua after every fard salah, there's nothing left between him and entering Jannah except death. Allahu Akbar. Look at Kul Huwallahu Ahad. You know Kul Huwallahu Ahad? We all know it, right? How easy is it to say it? 3 times is reciting the whole Quran. Say it 10 times and you get one palace in Jannah. If you love to say Kul Huwallahu Ahad a lot, do you know what the reward is? The reward is the death of Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi rahimahullah. Do you know the Sahabi? There was a Sahabi by the name of Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi rahimahullah. When he died, 70,000 angels came down to pray over him. They asked, why ya Rasulullah did that happen? Then they found out later on that Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi rahimahullah was a sahabi who loved to say Qul huwallahu ahad all the time. Whenever anybody saw him, Qul huwallahu ahad, Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Ya ikhwani, Surah Mulk. Look at Surah Mulk. A surah, 30 verses. Musnad Imam Ahmed, authentic hadith states, there is a surah in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Mulk. So it's hadith reported in Musnad Imam Ahmed and also Abu Dawud. 30 verses. Surah Mulk, whoever recites it, the surah will argue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under the throne of Allah to forgive you until you're forgiven. Is there no one here who is capable of reciting Surah Mulk? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, teach your women and teach your children Surah Mulk and save them from Jahannam. When did he used to say this? He used to say this when he used to recite the verse, Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Ku anfusakum ahlikum nara, and then Ibn Abbas used to say, how can you save your children from the fire? Teach them Surah Mulk. Teach them Surah Mulk. So dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. Alam ya'ni alladhina amanu an takhsha qulubuhum li dhikrillahi wa ma nazala min al-haq. Has the time not come for people, for their hearts to tremble at the remembrance of Allah from that which has been revealed from the truth? وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. And don't become like the ones who were given the book beforehand. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ. Until a great long time passed. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ. وَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And their hearts became hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And a lot of them are really bad. What does this verse talk about? This verse means, don't keep the Quran on your shelves. Don't let it gather dust. Be of those people who read the Quran and implement it. Dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. My brothers and sisters in Islam, your attendance today is a sign of dhikr of Allah. Because we're not talking about anything but remembering Allah. So may Allah Azza wa Jal make this a sign of you remembering Him. And be of those people who read the Quran a lot. And keep your tongues moist with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Finally, the one thing that will offer surety ensure you will enter Jannah. No way are you going to be punished. You will enter Jannah. It is the promise of Allah in Surah As-Saff. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin alim. O you who believe, shall I guide you to something that will save you from the terrible torment of the fire? Yes, Ya Rab, tell us. Tu'minuna billahi wa rasulihi. First have iman in Allah and His Messenger. Do you know what is to have iman in Allah and His Messenger? In the authentic hadith, the Prophet said, he said, whoever says, radaytu billahi rabban, wa bi muhammadin rasulan, wa bil islami deenan, wajaba alayhi al-jannah. Authentic hadith of Rasulullah, whoever says that I am happy with Allah as my Lord, and Muhammad is my Prophet, and Islam is my religion, Jannah is obligatory for him. Allahu Akbar. So be happy with Allah, and be happy with Islam, and be happy with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't want any other gods. We don't want any other prophets. This is it, Ya Rab. Alhamdulillah, kafayna. This is enough for us. So have iman. Tu'minuna billahi wa rasulihi. And number two, wa tujahiduna fi sabilihi bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. And that you should struggle and strive in the path of Allah with your wealth and your blood and your sweat and tears. Are you struggling in the path of Allah with your blood and sweat and tears? Or are you spending your time trying to earn money for this dunya? Your 9-to-5 time, if you're spending working for this dunya, then this is not good enough, brothers and sisters. You are smart people. You must get out of the rat race. Because even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. You have to get out of the rat race, brothers and sisters in Islam. Find a way out. Find an escape. Be happy with less. Be happy with less and give your time for the akhirah. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said in the authentic narration from him, he said, ayyuha shabab, O young men and women, i'malu lil akhirah, work for the akhirah. For verily I have found anyone who works for the akhirah, Allah also gives him the dunya. But I have never found in my life that anyone who works for the dunya gets anything from the akhirah. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, time to work for Allah. Time to do jihad for his cause. Time to struggle and strive with this Qur'an. Jahid bihi jihadan kabira. Struggle with this Qur'an, the greater jihad, the da'wah that we have to do in this dunya. And da'wah is a comprehensive term that means calling to the path of Allah in every way possible. So brothers and sisters in Islam, my final advice to you all to save ourselves from Jahannam is to take on the business transaction of Allah in Surah As-Saff, in the last verses of Surah As-Saff. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدْخِلُكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا نَصْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Three things Allah will give you if you listen to what I've just told you. To have faith in Allah and struggle and strive in His path. He will give you forgiveness. So He'll give you safety from Jahannam. He'll enter you into Jannah, which is what we want. And lastly, He'll give us victory and ascendancy in this dunya, which is what we crave for. Success in Palestine, success in Syria, success in Egypt, success in this dunya. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, be of those people who struggle and strive with the rest of your life to work for the akhirah, and make Jannah obligatory upon you and Jahannam haram upon you.
Iqra kitab Allah tarqa jinanahu wa tanal azim al-ajri wal-ajri.